I forgot how to intro the show, man. It's been 2 weeks. How you doing, Pike? How is it going, man?
It's good. How are you doing? Welcome back.
I'm okay.
I'm in the giant void that is this room. This is it, man. This is the new headquarters.
It's like a little churchy. I like it. Explain it. Walk me through the artwork.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to walk you through the artwork for sure. Absolutely. I was saying it looks like I'm inside the M&M guy. It looks like I was swallowed whole. Let me walk you through what's going on here. It's very yellow. I'm in a very yellow room, although it only looks that way on camera. I got to fix it. In reality, it's not like super yellow. I don't know why. It's like a light beige, but on camera, it looks, holy shit. It looks super.
It does. Yellow. I know. It like I can smell the room from here, but maybe it's not as bad as I'm imagining.
It's not. It's actually like nicely. It's a very neutral color tone, but I have to fix whatever the camera set up as to make it like the contrast makes it look very, very orangey. I don't know what's going on. I have to fix everything. I just rapidly set it up and then now hopefully it's all working. But welcome to the show. How are you? Hopefully you're good. It's been 2 weeks since I've last talked to Pike. I know we pre-recorded a bunch of stuff. We put it out there so we wouldn't miss an episode. And let me publicly state, Pike is the man because you put up every single video on time. You did it every day. And I appreciate that greatly, dude.
Well, I wasn't working or doing anything really. So that was like, it was nice because it was the one thing I had to do every day to make me feel like a person. So
yeah.
Thank you for the task.
Hey, you know what? I always say when I assign people work, it's for their benefit. That's right. Every time. But no, I am now I'm in Cleveland, Ohio. This is where I'm stationed now. I'm calling this the Sparks Radio Global Headquarters. We can come up with a better name than that, which like is, it. Yeah, well, I got a lot of plans for this week here. We got to name some shit, dude, on the show. We don't have anything named on here.
Yeah. Not really.
No, we got to nail that down, but it is the show. So we're going to do it like we normally do. So if it's your first time here, thank you so much. Hit follow, subscribe, like, comment, whatever you could do on whatever platform you're enjoying the show on, do it. And I really appreciate it. And Pike, I'm just going to speak for you. He like really appreciates it. He becomes erect. He is an erect man when he gets a comment on some video or a podcast. Is that right? Did I get that right?
Yes.
I mean, you are
absolutely like, aroused.
It is frightening. It's like, hey, Pike. And immediately he's just like, oh my God, someone else wants to talk to me. So it's really, really exciting. So thank you so much. Appreciate it. Dude, I want to recap what my trip was real quick. I know, whatever, but I do have like a little bit of a story here of something that happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Have you ever been there?
Yeah, I have not.
Okay. We'll talk about that after the news that matters. You want to jump into it?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Yes, this is the news that matters. Yes, this is the news that matters.
Holy shit.
I don't know if you saw this, but the news that matters today involves the thickness of a boat.
Okay.
Did you hear about the boat and the thickness of a boat?
I would have remembered that. No.
Dude, the boat, man. The boat. This is the most mind-blowing thing ever. How small is the smallest boat you can think of?
I don't know. What? Pretty small.
A fucking small boat, right? I mean, but like, yeah, how small?
Like a toy boat?
Like a boat. Like a boat.
Or does I can actually can get into the boat?
This, you can't get into a boat.
What's going on?
I'm not talking about your date. I'm talking about a boat. I'm talking about the smallest boat ever created in the history of mankind. This is the world's smallest boat. It was made by scientists. You want to take a guess at how big this boat is?
2 feet tall.
No, huge. That'd be huge.
That's a pretty small boat.
This boat was 3D printed, bro. 3D printed. Oh,
that's a whole other thing. Fucking scares me. It does? What? That's a weird thing, 3D printing. It was something I remember thinking, man, wouldn't that be nuts if they could just print shit? And somebody's like, yeah, man, they're doing that already. I'm like, what? And I just lost it. So yeah, it scares me.
The 3D printing part scares you. Well,
yes,
dude, they 3D printed this with something that is kind of terrifying. And they're like, we could print it in any shape we want. And that's why we printed it in a boat. They 3D printed a tiny boat to prove that they could print anything they goddamn well please. They printed a boat 1/3 the thickness of a human hair.
What?
Yeah, dude. With the intention that eventually they're going to just inject drugs in you by these tiny little vessels, maybe a boat, with drugs, and the boat's just going to like sail down your bloodstream and like give you drugs in a specific location.
Wow.
I'm kidding, dude. It is like the most insane shit.
Yeah, it's some magic school bus shit. That's something Mrs. Frazzle or whatever, just captaining this boat inside of you.
Yeah. Today, kids, we're going to teach you about heroin. All right. And they all just jump on a spoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's incredible, man. I'm trying to find the thickness of it. It's like 3 microns, 4 or 5.
You obviously can't even see this boat.
No, dude, you need an electron microscope to see the boat.
Jesus.
But the boat is like, it's a legit boat. It's got a little chimney. It's got a mat, you know, like a front.
That's so funny.
Yeah, dude. It's 0.001 millimeters. So it's 1 micrometer or 0.00039 of an inch.
Man. So eventually,
there you go.
Or even right now, like could they print a bigger boat? Like one more, you know, like usable.
Like you could jump on it and go.
Yeah, around. Like a little Johnson. Yeah, yeah. Printing a boat. That's
Mike's like, hey, I need a little Johnson over here. Guys, this is unusual.
Bigger than that one you printed.
Yeah. Guys, this Johnson.
Not practical.
No, dude. Yeah. They want to like put drugs in these little things and then like have it sail around your body.
And your voice is robot-y right now.
Oh, sweet. Good. It's great. Wonderful. I'm on my parents' Wi-Fi. So we're going to have to upgrade.
I think I missed what you said. You were doing this like slow motion robot, like,
it's fine. It wasn't good anyway. Trust me. It was.
No, I'm sure
not
it was
funny. It wasn't great.
Well, I apologize for not laughing. It's not because it wasn't funny. I just didn't hear it.
No, it's good. You're basically just resembling the person listening right now. That's fine. You're embodying what they're going through.
Yes.
So anyways, that's what I've been reading on. I've been like, holy shit, this is a tiny boat. I need to learn more about this thing.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, yes. Thanks. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can tell whoever wrote this article is not a nerd because they also printed the Starship Enterprise from Star Trek. And they were like, oh, and they printed a ship, like a starship. I'm like, no, you idiots. This is the Starship Enterprise. They printed it. It's tiny. And you go with the boat. You led with the boat.
Oh, man.
Only nerds would be excited about the Starship Enterprise being printed.
Yeah, that's. Seems to be up your alley.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be up my ass. Apparently that's how it travels.
Man, what a dream.
I know.
Finally.
Hey, you want to explore the deepest of spaces?
Oh, I can't tell you how long I've been waiting for a boat small enough to go up my ass.
Dude, you can, I'm talking about in a multi-galactic spaceship. Can now fly into Uranus, the deepest regions of your body. They can just venture in there, Pike.
That's perfect.
I know, man.
I'm always the guy that like, I'll see a boat and I'll be like, no, it's too, that boat is clearly too big to go in my ass. And everyone's like, why, what's wrong? It's like, no, it's just too big. They got to get a smaller one.
That's finally where you measure. That's how you measure if things are big or small. Yeah. Like, will it fit in my ass?
Well, great news.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. What do you got, man?
I got this one. You know, Borat, the sequel, finally came out years later. And yeah, of course, the movie takes place in Kazakhstan, which I didn't know was an actual place for some time.
Yeah.
And I probably still wouldn't if it weren't for this movie. Well, after the first one came out, like, they fucking hated the movie Kazakhstan. They hated Sacha Baron Cohen, obviously. Well, now they're finally embracing the movie. In fact, they've changed their slogan as a country to "very nice." Just, of course, from the movie. And I just think that's really special that they're finally like, yeah, fuck it. What else we got going on?
Yeah. Do they really change their slogan?
Yeah. There's like actual their national tourism board finally is like, you know what? Yeah, let's go with it. And so they got a whole video, like a nice commercial. Kazakhstan, very nice.
Oh, that's funny. Dude, that's awesome. You know, my wife's aunt actually lived in Kazakhstan.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. So I know someone who lived there for years.
Really?
Yeah.
What's it like?
Awful. It's just the worst. It's the worst place ever. Her husband worked for Shell, like the oil company.
Oh,
so
yeah.
They were there drilling and getting oil and all that kind of stuff. He's from the Netherlands. So, yeah, anyway. So yeah, she's lived all over the place, but so the company moved him to Kazakhstan, which sounds like some kind of punishment.
It sure does.
Yeah. But it's like a place where you have to, like, if you want to go around, you have to have a guide from the government, kind of a place, you know? It's almost like,
is it worse Korea-ish than, you know, the story you told about going to South America where, like, you're going to get robbed by the police? Like, is it on that level?
It's about that. Yeah.
Okay.
I'd put it around there, you know?
All right.
That's where I think it would be. I mean, it's like a mountainous deserty region, you know?
Yeah. Like, it feels, and I don't know this at all for sure, but it feels like Afghanistan. It's like the same thing.
Yeah. Right? It's like right there. Yeah. It's all right there.
See, I know about that one.
Yeah.
Because of the war and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there's a lot of Americans over there right now.
Yeah. They're always going over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Kazakhstan,
that's my news. Kazakhstan.
Very nice.
On the map. Very nice.
Very nice. That's good. my second news story is about a serial killer. Do you know those? Are you big on those? Yes.
Oh, I know those. Yes. I'm fascinated. Everyone is. You know, it's not a new thing for me to be interested in that, but yeah. No, I like to read up on them, and it's kind of weird. It makes you feel like you're also a serial killer, but so far not. You know what I mean? When you're sitting there obsessing over like how they killed these people and got away with it for so long. And then you start to think, man, maybe I could pull something off like this, but.
Yeah. But do you really? Because I don't think that at all.
No, I stopped short of planning. It is. I don't know.
And I feel like that. Stopping short of planning. You fucking was psycho. What is wrong with you? You're like, oh, you're watching these documentaries for ideas. Not.
Yeah.
You're like,
my wife's like, why do you have a notepad out? We're just watching, watching a movie on the California state killer. What are you writing? Nothing.
Yeah. Why are you in the corner scribbling? What's wrong with you? It's like you open up Pike's notebook. It's in there. It's just numbers repeating itself over and over again. You're like, I found the code. And then on the other side, it's just, yes. Golden State murder takeaways.
Key takeaways.
Points. Yeah.
Where he went wrong. What to avoid.
What to avoid. Oh my God. Yeah.
Serial killer days are over. It's just not, it's not plausible anymore. All the good stuff, you know, like back in the day, it was so easy to do.
Yeah. All the good stuff.
All right.
back in the golden age of slaying dozens of people.
Right. It was too easy. You know, you walk up to somebody on the side of the road, you kill them. If it's a perfect stranger, there's no way anybody would ever, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not too bad.
Maybe they should bring back the show Perfect Strangers with Belky and whoever the other guy was. And it just be about how to murder people. It would go over huge now.
Yeah.
Since every show is like that on TV. It was Halloween night. I was sitting there with my mom and my wife, and they're like, let's watch a scary movie. I'm like, okay, so we got two women. They're just sitting around going, let's watch someone die. Let's watch people get murdered. Should be a good one. Yeah. I want to watch someone be slayed violently, please.
That's so true.
It's the season.
Dude, I hate, that's why, like, that's how I judge a horror movie. Like, people got to die. You know, I'm not into these ones where it's just like spooky or there's like a demon. I'm like, no, a lot of times nobody ever even gets fucking killed. I'd rather see a real life horror movie where it's just a guy killing people.
Yeah, that's the scariest one. The scariest ones are always the one where it's like with a killer. I mean, it's got to have a killer. If it's a ghost, the worst one is like Amityville Horror, where the house is trying to kill people. You know, that's like the worst thing. It's like, just leave the house. Like, you have a front door. And they're like, but the cupboards are moving and the walls are leaking. How did this get made? I don't understand.
Yeah, like The Conjuring and anything like that, I'm not into.
Yeah.
It's dumb.
It's awful.
Give me a real cold-blooded human killing with a freaking hook or a knife or something.
Exactly. I feel like Amityville Horror, the sequel, is just going to be like Amityville Horror 2, Asbestos.
No! It's evolving. No!
Yep, we've been giving couples cancer for years. So where was I?
Oh, serial killer. Sorry.
Yeah. No. Yeah. The serial killer. This dude went to
not Siri killers.
Jesus Christ. There's a plot.
Yeah.
Serial killer. And it's just her murdering fools, you know, just through your Wi-Fi. She turns like, she shuts the garage door on you.
Oh yeah.
You're like trying to leave. Siri, no. Call 911. It's like calling apron. Oh, you're like, wait a minute. No.
which April would you like to call? Yeah, why do I have three Aprils in my phone? God. I don't know any of these people.
As you're getting crushed. This is in South Korea. And this guy back in the 80s went around. There's 14 women. Some of them were girls, like young girls, murdered in this small town in South Korea. And this is back between the years. It was something like 82 to 88. So it was a long stretch. Anyway, South Korea invested more money into finding out the killer into this than any other case in the history of the country. Like, they spent so many, it was like 2 million man hours put into this thing.
Damn.
Trying to find it. Then this one guy confessed, I say that with finger quotes, confessed to killing one of these girls, but they can never find any of the other ones. So they just go, oh, he's the one who killed. He won't admit to it. Blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, he's been in prison for 20 years and he's been saying, dude, I'm innocent. It was like a coerced confession. They tortured me into confessing and blah, 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 and all this stuff. It turns out he was right. He didn't kill these people.
No.
Yeah. And how South Korea works is that you have a statute of limitations. So like 20 years is like the maximum, the maximum punishment you can get.
There's no life or anything?
No.
No way. Wow.
No life in prison. So he got 20 years in prison and he's been known throughout his whole life now as the guy who murdered all these women in this like famous killing spree that was going around. The guy, the real killer, just admitted he's the dude.
Oh God.
Yeah. He's like, it was me.
I did it. Here's how I did it. Here's where the bodies are. Here's why I did it. Here's everything. They're like, well, why'd you kill this one, you know, 14-year-old girl? He's like, oh, that was impromptu.
Impromptu.
Yeah. He was what? Like, just shook it off, dude. Like it was no big deal. Like, that was impromptu. You know, I didn't really have a plan. Jesus. So yeah, dude, it's a crazy story going on right now in South Korea. This dude admits to this massive, he admits to being a serial killer. He said he was questioned by police a bunch of times and the cops always asked him about people around him, but not him.
Okay.
Which is like, he's like, I couldn't believe I didn't get caught. So I just kept killing people. What killed 14 people, man.
Man, that's so shitty.
Yeah.
That's to me, the saddest shit. It was, you see somebody spend all that time in prison only for DNA evidence to be like, oh no, shit. Whoops. He didn't do it.
Right.
Like there's no amount of money. There's no going back on that. Your life is ruined.
Yeah, that's exactly right, dude. You're fucked.
Yeah.
You're fucked. And now the guy's like, hey, dude, all I want is my honor back. That's what he said, quote unquote. I just want my honor back. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's some heavy shit. Yeah, dude. Could you imagine? But you're not going to get it back.
No.
To the extent where you should. You know what I mean? It's not like people.
Impossible.
Like,
it's too late.
Dude, you're more. Anyway, so the guy's like, I came out saying I killed all these people because I just want to say I'm sorry to the families. I'm sorry for the grief I put them through. But he's clearly like, fucking weird. Oh, the guy, the dude who admitted being a serial killer, apparently was already in prison for killing and raping his sister-in-law. Oh, so the guy's got some problems for sure, you know?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. I think I'm getting this right. I'm pretty sure. I don't know. It was all very confusing. It was poorly written. It was on CNN. So go fuck yourself, CNN, for writing such a bad article.
Perfect. But I have also a CNN story next. Hopefully it's better.
Dude, serial killers are hard to come by, right? Because you're right. They always get caught. They always get nailed somehow, especially now with like facial recognition and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's like one or two people's doable, but anything after that... Jesus. It's just not likely. It's
God damn it, Pike. Pike's like, yeah. Hold on. Yes, hold on. Yeah, according to research, you can get away with about 1 to 1.34 people before you're caught.
If you're good.
Yeah, if you're good. Yeah. If you know what you're doing. Yeah, I know what you mean. What's your last news that matters story?
Well, this man, a Florida man, as they call him. He is in the hospital recovering after getting his fucking face ripped off by a black leopard. Now, how did he get into a wrestling match with a black leopard, which is a very dangerous big cat? He paid $150 for a quote, full contact experience. And this person who is now in jail, this owner of this big cat, which we've learned, they're all fucking nuts if you own big cats.
Yep.
He took this guy's money and said, yeah, sure, I'll let him out of the cage. You can pet him. You can roll around. Well, none of that happened. No, the cat just fucking ripped the guy's head off, essentially. They had to, at the scene, the guy said he had to take the guy's scalp and put it back on his head for him.
Because
the cat had ripped it off. The guy lived, amazingly. But now the other guy's in jail. Yeah. The other guy's an idiot.
Now he looks like Red Skull.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know that comic character, but Jesus Christ. Just take a person's face and like dip it in lava. And then that's what his face looks like. dude. Is there a worse term than scalped? Like,
No, I never even knew what that was. Did you ever see that movie? What was it called? Betty, something Betty, Nurse Betty. Have you seen that movie?
I thought you were going to go with the Leonardo DiCaprio movie. That one where he's out in the wilderness.
Oh, yeah.
They were like scalping.
It's not the Reverend. It's what?
Irreverent. Irreverent.
Yeah, he won the Oscar.
Rebel Without a Cause. Barney Rubble. Titan.
Yeah. No, I did see that one with the bear. Yeah,
Revenant. Revenant. Yeah. Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Calm down. We got it. Okay.
Sure.
Don't worry about it.
I was an adult for that though. This Nurse Betty one, I remember it as a child, not knowing that that was a thing you could do. And in the movie, they just show the whole thing. This guy just scalps a dude, cuts his whole freaking scalp.
Jesus Christ. You were a kid watching this?
I know. It's kind of anything goes at the Pike household. Not a lot of supervision.
Hey, guys, you want me to put on Barney or people getting scalped? Well, I don't know what scalping means, so let's check that out. Yeah,
let's try that. I'm all caught up on Barney. Let's go with the scalping.
Anything goes in the Pike household.
Sure did. So
what was the first rated R movie you saw and at what age?
Oh my God. I remember being very young for like Austin Powers.
Yeah.
And that was pretty, you know, it was funny, but there was definitely shit that a second grader probably shouldn't be watching. And I was like obsessed with it. It wasn't just a one-time deal. It was over and over again. Yeah. Any nude scene, I was like pot. I'd have my friends over and, you know, of course their parents who were, you know,
normal
parents wouldn't let them watch it. So when I had friends over, it was like I had the remote and I was like pausing and rewinding all the naked parts. Like a total. I mean, it's no wonder that I turned out to be a fucking weirdo. Yeah. What about you? Did you watch those guys? Because you had a very conservative household.
Yeah, dude. The first rated R movie I saw in theaters, and I called my parents to make sure it was okay.
No way. How old were you?
I was probably 12.
Oh, damn.
Maybe 13, 14. But it was Harrison Ford and Gary Oldman in Air Force One. I don't know if you ever saw Air Force One.
I have not seen it.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I don't know how we watch it now, but back then, it was action packed, man.
Yeah.
What was
so rated R about it?
Oh, there was the word fuck thrown around in there. Nice. A bunch.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And then Harrison Ford's the president and he's just fucking murdering fools, dude. On the plane.
President?
Yeah, he's the president of the United States. He's Air Force One, man. He has a famous quote, "Get off my plane." Right. And then
I've heard that.
Yeah, dude. That's all from Air Force. That was the first rated R movie I saw in theaters.
Nice.
Yeah. And I called my parents. I was like, "Is it okay? I looked it up in the newspaper. It says it's rated R for violence and graphic scenes. There's no nudity.
That's so funny."
Yeah, I was like, "There's no."
Oh man,
classic,
dude.
Classic.
Yeah.
So
did you have to? Your parents make you like? If you were going to stay over at a friend's house, did they have to talk to their parents, that whole thing?
Yeah. My parents needed to know their parents or something, but I didn't, it wasn't like I was staying over at Rando's house. You know what I mean? I was like, I met Gary at the gas station. He said he needed some help. So I'm going back to his van. I was just always like the same four guys. You know what I mean? I was just over, or they would come over our house. So no, it wasn't like this weird. It wasn't strange or anything like that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounded like to me, I thought it was a weird thing, but now that I've said it out loud, I'm like, oh, that was a normal thing to do.
Is that what you did?
Yeah. My dad, well, I had two homes. I was lucky enough to have, my parents were divorced. So my mom's house.
Lucky.
Yeah, I know. It was cool. It was twice the Christmas presents. Incredible.
Yeah.
And the just emotional trauma that goes with it.
Oh, fantastic. God. Yeah. Yeah. Just wonderful.
Yeah. So my mom, it was when I said anything goes, that's where anything went.
That was over your house.
Yeah. And then you go down the street in Glendon and it's like a whole different world because you couldn't watch The Simpsons. Couldn't.
So your dad was the strict one.
Oh my God. Nuts. Yeah. So when I was over at his place, I couldn't stay anywhere because he had to, like you said, had to know their parents. And even then he was just a guy that would say no. And I'd be like, why? And he's just, I don't know. I want to be an asshole. I had a bad day. So no, you can't go to your friend's house.
Right.
God. Yeah. So
So that was your childhood. All right. I'm learning more about Pike.
It was like a lot of like, you know, I don't know. It kind of makes you who you are, but like in a lot of weird ways, you know?
Oh dude. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I could tell you what I know that there was obviously a lot of strife and contention, but that duality, those two worlds of, you know what I mean? The, of, hey, over here, anything kind of goes. And over here, it's 100% strict. It kind of made you, in my opinion, I bet it made you navigate the world a little bit easier because you could read the room better. You understand that different living situations are different for everyone.
Right.
Which is, you know, how you can empathize with people.
Sure.
And at the same time, I guarantee that's where, dude, funny people didn't grow up in normal households.
Never. No.
No. They always have to have some kind of, there's got to be some shit. Because I've honestly, I think comedy is a coping mechanism for how to fit in.
Right.
Yeah. You know? Like comedy is a universal way to communicate where it doesn't matter if how intelligent you are, what skills you have in life, you know, I mean, physical prowess or anything you could, hey dude, if you're funny, people like you, you know what I mean?
Anybody. Yeah. You can in any room,
exactly.
You can make it work.
Which is why I'm so hated. Are you ready for the story of 2020, because it's the only thing I've done all year long was go on this trip.
Yeah, man, that you drove across the whole country. I imagine you have some stories.
9 states, dude. 9 goddamn states in a minivan with 2 children,
oh my
4
God.
Years old and under. So it was a haul, to say the least.
How'd they handle it? Because I got a 2-year nephew who I live with right now, and he's at this phase where he's crying. It might be every 15 minutes. He's like screaming about something. So how did they do in the vehicle?
They did great. They did great. It was good because it was a new vehicle and it was like all new, you know what I mean? But the one thing is we couldn't, it rained from Albuquerque, New Mexico to St. Louis, Missouri.
Jesus.
And in Amarillo, Texas, ice. It was an ice storm. We got stuck. We couldn't go anywhere. It was 15 degrees in Amarillo, dude.
That my brain doesn't even process that
because
it doesn't make sense. No.
I went the southern route to avoid the weather and we hit weather. And I was like, motherfuck. I swear, dude, the whole time I'm sitting there, I'm like, this is the whole reason why we came this way. I should have went through Denver. You know what I mean? I should have went up through there, but it was great. Here's the cities. The main cities we went to was overall, it was really exciting to drive through these new parts. I wish it wasn't raining and snowing and icing, freezing rain, whatever the fuck you want to call it the whole way. Cause I could see, like, I didn't even get to see New Mexico. Like I didn't, whatever New Mexico looks like, I couldn't see it out my window because of how much rain and snow and road conditions were. I couldn't see it. It's gone. I don't know. We went to Vegas to Flagstaff, Flagstaff to Albuquerque, Albuquerque to Amarillo, Amarillo. This is the haul. Amarillo to Tulsa, Tulsa to St. Louis, St. Louis to Indianapolis, Indianapolis, Columbus, Columbus, Cleveland. Now we didn't stop in all those, but those are the main, that's the,
okay. It's going to say Christ. It took you a month.
I know. It took us 5 days.
Wow.
To drive. So here's what happened. I want to tell you about Tulsa, Oklahoma. Have you ever been to Tulsa?
I've never been. Not even, in fact, close. So it's very just kind of southerny, midwestern-y.
Yeah, it's kind of this weird hodgepodge of the South and meets the Midwest. And I got to just, let me start by saying Tulsa is actually a pretty cool city. Like I was impressed. I was like, oh, wow. Like I, if you say Tulsa, Oklahoma, I, for some reason, I feel like Wizard of Oz, Kansas, you know what I mean? Of nothing in a telephone pole, but that is not it. So Tulsa, Oklahoma, cool town. Weird as fuck people, Pike.
Yeah.
Weird, dude. Weird. So we've been booking hotels. We've been using the Hotel Tonight app, and which please advertise. But I was using that because I didn't know where we were going to stay. You know, you just drive until, okay, how far do we make it today? Because of weather and children and the whole thing.
Yeah.
So we end up stopping. I was originally planning on stopping in Oklahoma City. I was like, fuck this. We're pushing to Tulsa. We went to Tulsa. We got the place online. Never saw it. I get to the hotel. It's late. it's cold. It's raining. Of course it is, where everyone's just, we call it ROE, running on empty. Everyone's hungry, tired, cold. They need a shower. They need to be fed. They need to go to sleep, you know, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I walk in, I got my mask on. Okay. Cause I, again, I still feel like I'm the last person on earth paranoid about COVID, but I got my mask on and I go into the hotel where the dude behind the desk, his name's Marvin. Okay. And he tells me that like six times.
Oh, I'm Marvin. Friendly guy. Great.
Already, I'm like, oh, fuck, we booked the wrong hotel. And I already paid for it, and there's no refund and all this stuff through Hotel Tonight. I was like, ah, shit, I got the wrong one. As soon as I walked in, I saw Marvin. His shirt untucked. Never a good sign, dude. Front desk clerk, untucked shirt. I'm like, ah, fuck. Like, dress shirt, tie, but just like fucking hanging out, doesn't care, you know?
Yeah.
Second sign that this is a bad idea. He had like a buzzed, like a bald head, shaved head. Dude, he had like 30 Band-Aids all over his head.
On his head? Would he use a freaking chainsaw to shave his head?
What? You look like that guy from your story that got scalped. I was like, what happened? So I go in to fuck it. It's a pandemic, okay? Marvin, no mask, not wearing a mask at all. Two, the dude, shirt untucked. Three, he's picking at his Band-Aids. Ah, oh, Jesus Christ. I'm like,
my God.
Ah, oh, we made a mistake. Why did we stay here? Fuck. Oh, man. Tulsa, you're killing me. So he's picking at all his Band-Aids. I'm like regretting everything. Then all of a sudden, a lady comes sprinting down the hallway like a figure. Out of the corner of my eye, just, I'm like, what was that? He's like, oh, she's trying to find something. I was like, what? Like she's been doing this. You know what I mean? Like don't worry about it. You know, kind of a thing as I'm checking in. She's trying to find something. I'm like, what is going on? Dude, she comes back. Goes back the other way. What is going on? So I'm like, what's going on? And all of a sudden she comes back down the hall. She's out of breath and she's like, I got him, Marvin. I got him. What the fuck is going on? What is happening?
Oh, no.
Dude, she goes, I got him, Marvin. I got him. And lifts up her hand and she has a fucking lizard on her hand.
Oh, my God.
Like this big.
No.
Yeah, it's like from her top knuckle down past her wrist, you know? Like this is how far it went. And I'm like, is that real? You know what I mean? And she's like, "Yeah, he's a gecko. I don't even remember his name. But yeah, I found a Marvin. He was running loose." And I was like, "Where the fuck am I? What is going on here? We got loose lizards. I got a meth head for a receptionist checking me in."
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Marvin, twitchy Marvin, kept going like, you know, picking at his scabs and fucking weird, dude. So she's got a gecko and then she looks over at me, you know, like all, you know, three teeth in her mouth.
Oh, good.
Like no power. I was like, what?
No power.
No power. Yeah. Just no power. Kept saying it. I'm like, what? What? You got no power. I was like, I don't know what that means. I have no idea what you're talking about. No power in your house. That's why you're here. You got no power. I was like, no. Driving across the country.
She's like, okay. Was she there because she had no power?
Maybe, dude. All I know is I wanted to get the fuck out of there immediately with all the power of my being, all the power of my soul. I wanted to run far and fast, but I already paid for this shit hotel, which looked really nice in the pictures.
Of course.
And yeah, and it wasn't. So we go up into the room. I dropped off the bags first because, you know, we have two kids. My wife stays in the van. I drop off like the suitcases kind of a thing. Then I go down and I help her with the kids because I don't want them touching things and it's a pandemic and this place is fucking weird and methy. And I'm like, you stay here. I'll go do the thing. I go up in the room, dude, the bedroom The hotel room is 55 degrees. I looked at the thermostat, 55 degrees, dude. So I was like, oh my God, what the fuck? So I turned it up. I come down. He's like, everything okay, Marvin? And I'm like, yeah, the room's 55 degrees. Oh, sorry about that. You turn it up? Yeah, yeah, I turn it up. Dude, the room never got above 55 degrees.
Oh, God.
I got a baby sleeping on the floor. Or like in a pack and play, you know, like a pop-up crib thing. At 55 degrees. I'm worried about it. Oh, my God. The heat's broken. I talked to the dude in the elevator the next morning. I'm like, he's like, hey, did your room get warm last night? I was like, no. He's like, neither did mine. I don't know. I turned up to 80. It didn't do anything. I'm like, so did I.
Oh, no.
The hotel room, no heat. I come downstairs the next morning. Oh, shit. I forgot something. This is my 8-year anniversary, by the way. My 8-year wedding. Yeah, this is the night of my 8-year wedding anniversary.
Congratulations. What a night. Oh, my God.
What a night. So I come down the next morning. I'm like, we're getting the fuck out of Tulsa. Like, I got to get out of here ASAP. You know, as soon as we wake up, we hit the road. We come downstairs. And as we come down the elevator, dude, there is medics in the lobby, an ambulance outside in like the little parking lot, and they are carting Marvin off. I don't know if he was dead. No. I don't know if he was alive. My band-aid fucking head on that stretcher, and he was being carted off. Oh, no. Into an ambulance.
Oh, Marvin's dead. Oh, no.
Is Marvin dead? Was I there for Marvin's last night on Earth?
It got too cold. Too cold for Marvin. He just passed.
Man.
It had like to be related to the Band-Aid. The Band-Aid head.
Something, dude. Yeah, he had 30 Band-Aids all over his head.
Yeah, there was
an infection. My God. I think I saw a man die. I think I witnessed a man die in Tulsa.
That's incredible.
Yeah. I was like, what? So needless to say, I went down there to try to get my receipt for the hotel room. I was like, my wife's like, did you check out? I'm like, I think Marvin checked out of life. I think he's out. I think he's gone. She's like, what?
Check out.
Yeah. So we got into the van because we were down in the garage. So I was like, you know what? I just took the stairs down, peaced out. So that was Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's my 8-year wedding anniversary story. I think we stayed in a hotel where a man died that night.
That's a hell of a tale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Tulsa, Oklahoma.
It started, you know, when he talked about Marvin and how friendly he was. I was like, I like this guy, you know, just doing honest work.
Are you doing a eulogy right now?
Well, I just feel like somebody should say something. The guy fucking died. You know, working the overnight shift in Tulsa.
Yeah, he went from work in the graveyard to being in one.
Okay, if you're not going to respect him, let's not do this.
Fuck Marvin. That guy gave me a freezing cold room. He's the one who decided to do all the meth. It wasn't me. I didn't make those life choices. All right.
Okay.
Guy didn't do his job well. Tuck your shirt in.
Oh, he's not the temperature guy. Yeah, he's checking you in. That's the after that, it's on you.
Dude, I should have known. He was like dropping hints when the gecko girl was there. He was like, yeah, she called down and was asking, oh, is the maintenance guy here? He has to help me look for my lizard. And I was like, there is no maintenance guy here, just me. And I ain't looking for no lizard. And I hung up. And then she came down. Like, he was giving me the whole thing. But then I was like, oh, he's dropping hints that there's no maintenance guy here.
Yeah.
Could be heat.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Goddamn Marvin.
Lizard.
I would say
lizard lady out of there. Do not bring your fucking reptile into a hotel.
Yeah, dude. I don't like people who, first of all, who bring their exotic pets around. If you have an exotic pet, you keep that shit in your house because it's fucking weird.
Yes. Okay?
Don't
bring your python to the park. That's my biggest pet peeve is when I'm going for a walk and I got to walk past a freaking anaconda. Not okay.
Yeah. To keep him out of the park, off airplanes, out of the grocery store. Don't carry him in a purse and be like, snakes are just lovely animals. No, they're not. They don't care. They want to be fed and they want to mate. There's no, like, dogs are lovely animals because they've been bred that way.
Right.
You've had generations of wolves turned into chihuahuas. Okay. Yeah. Snakes have just remained the same.
I know.
They just want to feed.
Dude, we got on the radio one time, similar to what we're doing right now, and kind of just kind of bashed snakes. Because,
yeah,
who fucking lied? Yeah. Apparently, there's like a snake society in town.
Yes.
And we got ripped. There's emails and calls and messages about us disrespecting. Because apparently, snakes have feelings.
Right.
And rights, and we violated those.
Yeah. Fucking snake people, dude. Snake people are, first of all, I could describe every single snake person right now. And if you're watching and you own a snake, combat boots.
You got it.
Some sort of bandana. You have multiple buckets from Home Depot and Lowe's that you store your fucking great pets in when you need to take them around. And then three, you let everyone know that you're a snake. Male ponytail, combat boots, cargo pants. That's the attire of a snake person.
You're describing the snake person I was thinking of.
Of course. Amazing. And then the third one, you drive at least a 10-year-old SUV that you put your fucking snakes in a bucket, drive around, and your license plate / bumper sticker, either one is going to identify you as like snake or something like 15 S's in the front of it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Nailed it.
Right. And you're like, it's not poison. It's venom or whatever. You're like, God damn, shut the fuck up. Get it. They're snakes. They're amazing killers. All right. There you go. That's it for the show. Thank you so much, Pike. I've mapped out a bunch of stuff here for the week. I say, if I can have 5 minutes of your time after the show, we can map out something. But I do want to ask you, the person hopefully enjoying the show, to do something coming up here. And that's tomorrow on the show, because we want more participation from you. I know we consider this show as much yours as it is ours. So we're going to be asking you to get more involved. We'll tell you all about it tomorrow. Make sure you are following that guy over there on all social media. He's at Pike Taylor Radio. I'm at Sparks Radio on all social media. Hit us up on YouTube if you could. Give us a subscribe. Hit that subscribe button, youtube.com/sparksradio. Hit subscribe and then we're there. Dude, we've hit over 200 subscribers. That's a cool milestone. So that's
great.
Exciting to do. And we're still doing the giveaway too. So if you want a signed and framed drum head by a bunch of bands from the Uproar Tour, and it's really nicely framed as well. Giving that sucker away. You can see all the details over there. sparksradio.com/win. Okay. That winner will be announced on the 20th. So if you want something for free, hit us up and we'll definitely make it happen if you're the winner. All right. Easy as that. Any last words there, Pike?
I'm thinking you could probably just keep the picture yourself and put it in that weird room you're in.
Oh yeah, dude. I forgot to give you a tour tomorrow on the show. I'll give you a tour of this room because it's got some really random ass.
It sure does. It actually looks like an art gallery, like a fucking crazy, weird art gallery.
I can't believe we didn't pick apart this room. All right. Tomorrow on the show, we pick apart the Sparks Radio Global Headquarters. All right. Okay. That'll be tomorrow. Perfect. On the show. All right, dude. I'll see you then.
All right. See ya.